You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Let's get spooky. You found Earth Station Boo, where horror lives, legends linger, and laughs are always waiting. Stay with us. You know you're dying to listen.
And welcome to the Spooky and Kooky podcast of Earth Station Boo, where we talk all things horror. Introducing our horror-holic host, our kick-ass Karen.
What up, my horror-holics?
And I am your terrifying tea. And today we are going to be talking about one of our beautiful husbands of horror, Mr. Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet, 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 motherfucker! Oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn!
And on that note, let's get spooky.
Are you a horror-holic? Then take your horror obsession beyond the podcast. Check out Earth Station Boo's merch store for killer designs to let the world know that you live for the scares. You can also join our Discord and hang out with fellow little ghouls, talk monsters, movies, and midnight madness. And if you want to support the show directly, visit our throne to keep the screams and laughs coming. Find everything in our link tree, and remember, stay spooky.
Riddle me this. What do you get when you cross the 60s Batman show with Drew and Mike's recaps and reviews?
Holy Captain Obvious! That's easy! The Bat Chums Podcast.
Riddle number two. How do the Bat Chums get across the road?
You don't have to be the world's greatest detective to know that. They are on YouTube and the ESO Network. Just go to batchums.com for more info. And what's with all these ridiculous riddles?
Don't worry. The worst are yet to come.
Alrighty. So, we've already done Matthew Lillard. It's only right that we do his horror husband, his partner in crime, the man who has now not only been with him in Scream, but is now in with him on FNAF, Mr. Skeet Ulrich. So, Karen, obviously, we've been in love with this man for decades. What was your first experience with him?
Okay, so my first movie with him was Scream. I was like, oh, he's a cutie patootie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, his diabolical boyfriend came up, and I was like, yeah! It's Matthew! Oh, I love you, Matthew. You go second, Skeet. I'm sorry. Whenever Matthew comes in, I'm like,
Horrorholics, please note, Homegirl did the best Matthew Lillard tongue impression just now when she was making those noises. That the full-on tongue Matthew Lillard deal was there. That was priceless. That was perfect. This is why I love you. Please continue. Sorry.
Like, you know every time, you know, I saw Matthew, I was like, I'm sorry. But you know, over the years, I got to enjoy him in other movies like Craft. Oh my god, who cannot forget Craft? Mm-hmm. If you forgot Craft, then
shame on you.
You've been living underneath a rock. And then, you know, he kind of, for me, jumped off and did like Thriller and other comedy and romance mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know,
some Lifetime things.
Lifetime movies. They were good back in the day.
Right.
Now I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know what's going on. But, you know, when, you know, Patty Duke was on, you knew that was going to be a banger. That was going to be a banger movie. But anyways, yeah, Skeet, yeah, he shaped my early, you know, late 90s, mid-90s to, like, you know, late 90s. And then a little sprinkling in here of the 2000s. But yeah, like, he's just a man with a plan.
Scream was my first movie with him. That is when I knew I was in trouble. Or I should have known. I don't think I really understood and knew. But I should have. That is when I realized I have a thing for bad boys. They're so bad that they're good. I can't help it. And as much as I love Matthew Lillard, Skeet, oh, he takes my breath away. Even now, your girl loves Skeet. Absolutely loves him. Cleaned up, looking like a bum, doesn't matter. Ooh, homeboy is my type. He is my type. But no, I liked him in Scream and had a crush on him. But like later on, going back and watching it, it's like, oh no, homeboy's good. He's a good actor. And then I kind of became sad that like I didn't see him as much, and like he wasn't in as many things and that I would have liked to have seen him in. And so I'm just like, oh, like, oh. He's kind of underrated. And I think Hollywood was missing out, but he's kind of getting his, he's like, hey, I'm back kind of thing. And I'm excited to see where his career goes with this. Obviously, Kraft and Scream were his, like, his two big, like, out there roles. They both came out in 96.
Yep.
How do you think having a role like Billy Loomis in Scream kind of defined his career? Like, why do you think even today, like, people who see Scream for the first time are like, oh my God, Billy.
He makes bad look good.
He does.
He makes evil look good. And that defines, you know, a character for me. Like, if you could completely disappear into a character, it defines you as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And when he played in The Kraft, I was expecting another, you know, Billy Loomis character.
Yeah.
But no, it was totally different. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't see you as Billy. I see you as Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difference. Because some actors, they leave a part of themselves and you're like, oh, I can see through that.
Yeah.
But for me, Skeet kind of like embraced his role and tried to become that character.
He did. Yeah.
And you tend to forget all the other characters he plays because you want to compare and contrast. But because he was able to slip in to a new character, I was like, oh, no, that's not Billy. That's Chris. Mm-hmm. Or, oh no, that's not Joe Newton. That's not Billy. That's Joe Newton.
Mm-hmm.
In the Newton Boys.
Yeah.
So when you're able to slip into a character, not have that character, you know, be compared to your other characters that you've acted,
mm-hmm.
that's a sign of a good actor.
Oh yeah, for sure. In my research for all of this, there was an interview he did with, oh, what was it called? Let's Get Weird, I think is what it's called. I don't know. It's some comedian who does the podcast and he does like these interviews with other actors and comedians and stuff like that. And Skeet was in on it. And they had recently done a movie together, but they were talking and he talked about his time doing the Elizabeth Smart film with Lifetime that he did. And, you know, that's a real world thing. He was playing the guy who tortured this poor girl. And he was supposed to meet her before he got his hair and makeup done. She came in as soon as they were finished with him. And he said, when she came into the trailer, into the makeup trailer, and she saw me, she froze. He goes, props to the makeup and effects team, because they made me look like the dude. But still, like, he goes, it broke my heart seeing that, like, I triggered her like that. He goes, but then, you know, to have her come onto the set and be like, oh, no, the bucket wasn't there. It was over here. And, like, different things like that, where he was like, you know, it was kind of eye-opening. He goes, and I felt honored to be able to, like, help tell her story. He goes, even though I was the bad guy in the story. And he's like, but yeah. He goes, he's like, there's like the one scene, he goes, where I basically have to tell her that she needs to be a good girl and like take care of me. And he talked about having to like unzip his pants and doing all the like these kind of things. He goes, and obviously with the movie, it stops at that point. He goes, he's like, but in my head as the actor, I had to be like, no, this is what a good kid does. Like, they're supposed to do X, Y. Like, he's like, I had to be in like this, like, if you're teaching your kid how to, like, you know, paint the fence, or, you know, he gave a couple of examples I can't remember off the top of my head, but trying to teach your kid how to do something like the laundry or something along those lines, where it's like, okay, well, you separate out the whites and the colors, and then you put the you know, the one load in, and this is the detergent that you use, and, you know, go grab that detergent. Okay, Seth, you know, put it on cold tap, put it on this. You, here's the settings you need. He's like, with those scenes where he's like, I'm essentially torturing this person. He's like, that's not how that guy was thinking about it. He was thinking about it like, I have to teach her how to do the things I want her to do. And he thought about it and doing it like that. And it was like, ugh, oh my goodness. Like, that's some mental shit. But at the same time, he was able to like step away and be like, but that's why I didn't lose myself. Like, he's like, I can see where the mindset was, but that I'm not going to do that. That's stupid. You know, like, so he's there, but he's not there. But with like Billy, he played a teenage kid who wanted revenge, who wanted, you know, to make the people who hurt him hurt. And he got his crazy friend to come along with him. And he made a girl fall in love with him. And it was one of these deals of like, you bought it. You know, for a good half of the movie, you were Team Billy. You're like, yeah, Billy, he's innocent. We love Billy. You know, like, when you first watch it, you're in it. And why? Because he had you there. He had such a good, convincing performance. When you kind of look at his career, especially when it comes to like the horror and thriller things, do you think he's been typecast? And do you think it's one of the reasons why maybe he didn't have a star-studded career like other individuals?
I don't think he's been typecast. I think he wanted to do other things because mm-hmm. he seems like a man who, even though he enjoys acting, he wants, you know, more out of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I read he likes to do like woodworking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of like you could balance out, you know, what you do and what you love to your career. And I think, you know, he chose what he wanted to do. Kind of like that guy who was in the faculty. Josh, oh my God.
I mean, I give credit to any actor who, after their first role, is like, no, I want to like just live like regular life. I know Malcolm in the Middle is coming back, and the guy who played Dewey is like, you guys have fun with that. Like, I'm not coming back. I'm good.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, he also had that same thing of trying, you know, he could have been blah.
Yeah.
But he also not to like ride that wave.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect him. I respect actors who decide to like, you know what? I want to act, but I don't want to act. I want to be able to do what I want to do out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think with him, you know, I don't think he's typecast. I just think he wants to be able to live a life while acting. And it's kind of hard when you like become a famous actor because now you're under the scrutiny of the microscope and everyone gets to be all up in your business and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the way he did it, you don't know that much about him, you know?
Yeah.
You only know what he tells you.
Yeah.
And that's good because
it's great.
I don't want people up in my business.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to be like, you know, I love ScarJo. I don't want to be like her where like I have cameras in my face 24/7. What is she doing? What is she wearing? Who she's having sex with?
Yeah.
You know, I respect that. If somebody could like, you know, if actors could do that, I respect them for it because I don't think I could do like that. I don't think I could be underneath that scrutiny 24/7 today. 24/7. I just because at some point I'm going to flip the fuck out and they'll be like, oh my God, she's having a Britney Spears moment. And I'm like, no.
No, you guys just don't leave me alone.
I was like, just leave me alone. I want to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that like age old question of, do you want fame or fortune? And I'm like, give me fortune. And they're like, but if you have fame, you also have fortune. And I'm like, I don't want fame. I don't want everybody up in my business. Like, like, and don't get me wrong. Like, I don't have anything to hide. Like, kind of an open book, but at the same time, like, I want to be able to go to the beach and not be like, camera up in my face, like, what you doing? Like,
who's she kissing?
Shh, I'm not supposed to talk about that part.
I know, right? It's like who is her boo thing of the year? You know, you just, I'd rather have the fortune than the fame. I mean, I'll act here and then dip out.
And don't get me wrong, like, I don't mind being, like, popular. Like, if this podcast, like, really, like, takes off and people recognize us from it, like, I'm not going to be mad about that. Just respect my privacy. Like, if you see I'm with my family, peace out. Like, leave me alone, you know? But I think, like, that's more, like, common courtesy type stuff.
Yeah.
But he does have that. And I'm wondering how much of it was him growing up in the northern south. Like, so you have the south, and there's, like, a northern portion of it. He's from that northern portion of the south. And I'm wondering if a lot of his down-to-earthness is because of where he grew up and was because of the people he grew up around. He had family who's famous in NASCAR, but he's just like, nah, like, I'm just a dude pretending to be another dude, you know? And I respect that. I think it's really cool that he's able to do that. And I don't want to say that he's typecast in horror or thrillers, but I also think in horrors and thrillers, there's only so many characters that you can be.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're not one, you're the other. So I don't know how much of it is typecasting or how much of it is you only have a select number of characters that you can actually end up being. Obviously, we love him with all, like, the different things that he's done, and we love what he's played in horror. But do you think, or how do you think, I should say, how do you think his playing of these, like, iconic horror characters in the mid-90s, how do you think it affected the way that they made horror in the 90s and early 2000s, especially when it came to teenage characters, because of him?
Well, they try to copy him, you know, a little bit too much, in my opinion, because you had that smooth, he kind of looked like a crybaby. You know, have you ever seen that movie, Crybaby?
Mm-hmm.
That's who he reminded me of. And that's what I kind of kept seeing.
So Johnny Depp?
Yeah. That good-looking bad boy with a soft side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of saw him as, like, the blueprint of a good bit of 90s horror, because you always had that rough, good-looking, soft side horror, yeah, main male character. And after a while, I kind of got, like, you know, boring, because I'm like, you just kind of remind me of, like, every time I watched a horror movie kind of like that, with that same type of character type, I'm like, you remind me of somebody. Who is it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I rewatched Scream again. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's... Mm.
Okay, so...
Okay.
To kind of build off of everything that you're kind of saying there, with, like, Johnny Depp being somebody who did kind of start in the horror realm as well, with Wes Craven...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here going, oh, wait, they kind of actually both started with the same dude.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a fair comparison for them, and especially in a lot of the roles that they've played?
Yeah, I kind of actually do, because, well, unlike one where that character was innocent and died a horrific death. I'm sorry, Johnny, you did die a horrific death. The other one became a killer and kind of died a simple death.
A justified death.
A justified death. Yeah. I mean, he did kind of deserve it. I'm sorry. Johnny Depp's character did not deserve that. He was just a teen trying to fall asleep. And then it was a river of blood. I'm like, oh, my God. Billy, you deserve that. You were angry at the wrong person. I'm sorry. You just angry at the world. But because of, you know, he basically played that quintessential teen that is almost, that you see in almost, you know, horror movies. I think that's the reason why a Scary Movie came out, because you saw that quintessential teen that has that little angst in him, that wants to see the world burn, and you're like,
But I mean, I feel like it's fair to say Wes even took he's like, hey, this is what I have with Johnny, I'm gonna do this with Billy, or with Skeet, but I'm gonna make him the bad guy instead. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like he's like, and same character, but you're going to be bad. You're a bad boy.
Same character, different font.
Exactly. Exactly.
until like most of my childhood was kind of like, you know, watching kind of like a Johnny Depp slash Billy Loomis character type-esque in horror movies. And at the same time, you're kind of like, can we switch it up?
Yeah. Then that's fair. Absolutely fair. I think how he played the character definitely changed the way other people ended up playing their characters. Like, I think, like, Devon Sawa, I think he took some notes from that, where, like, he was like, oh, you know, I don't know. Like, you go back and you, like, rewatch some of these, like, early 2000s films, and you can see how some of the lead male actors took notes.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they want to admit it or not, like, you guys took notes. Or at least your director did.
Yeah.
And is making you do it. Like, because it worked. Do you think some of it is because he just has, like, a magnetic kind of performance?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I feel like that's how he is in everything. Oh. Like, I really, truly feel like he's just, like, magnetic, you know?
I mean, between him and, you know, Matthew, they have this magnetism that you just are drawn to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want it to disappear. You want it to last forever.
Forever and ever
and ever and ever. And, ever. And ever, you know, ever. And it's fun to be, you know, attracted to these character types. But, you know, as people, they are magnetic, you know, as people. Because I've seen their cons, you know, that they go to. And I'm like, I want to hang out with those type of people. You know, you want to hang out with positive people, because it not only does it lift you up, but it lifts them up, because you're like, you're feeding off of each other's energy.
Yeah.
And yeah. Energy vampires.
Colin. Damn it, Colin.
Damn it, Colin. And so, yeah, I actually absolutely love the fact that, you know, Skeet has been around for so long, and, you know, and he has this magnetic personality. You see it in all the characters that he's played in. And the most recent series that I was watching, Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Papa Jones, he can get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's actually a really great continuation, but I'll answer my answer for kind of what we were talking about. I think he is magnetic, and I think it's a subtle magnetism that people don't realize until after. And because he didn't do the normal, like, Hollywood route, I don't think he got, like, corrupted with using that magnetism. Because, like, that's, like, that can be a thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
But obviously, because he hasn't done, like, the traditional, like, Hollywood whatever. And honestly, I feel like he's very underutilized when it comes to horror, or comes to just Hollywood in general. He's a fantastic actor that should be in so many more things than he is in. But he was in shows. He was in Jericho. He was in
such an underrated show.
Yeah. They only got like 1.5 seasons?
Something like that.
Obviously, he was in Riverdale. He also was in...
He was in several episodes of CSI New York, I believe.
Yeah, he played a bad guy in that. He also did... There was another thing he was in, and I can't remember what the other thing was. It's driving me nuts now. Oh, well. But how do you think, because I mean, like, they're very different roles. Like, obviously, like, Jericho's post-apocalyptic. You have CSI, which is very, like, true crime, you know, kind of stuff. And then you have Riverdale, which started off as kind of like a dark version of the Archie comics, but kind of became a supernatural urban fantasy. So, like, he covers a spectrum.
Also, he was several voices in Robot Chicken.
Several voices in Robot Chicken. He also did a voice work for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. So he likes horror. He's at home in horror land.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you feel about, like, his performances and being cast some of these things that are like so diversely different.
I mean, it shows his acting range. It shows that he could be a horror icon or a comic, you know, a voiceover comic. He could do urban fantasy. He could do thriller. He could do romance. He could do Western. So that's, you know, that's a sign of a good actor that could like kind of float through roles. And you're like, eh. Because there are some actors I'm like, maybe you should do something else. Acting is not for you.
And there's also a difference between an actor who can become all of these characters and a performer who makes the characters fit their personality, which I know that Ski has been quoted to say that he hates the fact that acting is about personality and not about the actual performance.
Yeah.
About the actual talent anymore.
Now that's really true.
But he's also a guy who came from the acting school. What is it? Atlantic Theater Company, I think is what it was called. Or is called. That was started by William H. Macy. And it's a playwright. And I never remember his name. I know his initials are DM. I should have written down notes. But they started the school and it was, you know, it was hardcore stuff. He's like, I read classic Greek stories, like classic Greek plays and things like that. He's like, when we were in this group, he's like, you learned the old school stuff. He goes, and I think that makes you appreciate the art that is acting and being able to understand how to tell the story, which I think that's what he was able to do, especially with these shows, because you have these shows and there's this overarching storyline, and like depending on how they give the scripts, you either get everything all at once so you kind of know everything, and then like they may change a few things because of this, that, or whatever, or you might not know the trajectory of your character until they give you the script.
The playwright's name is David Mamet, or Mamet.
That's it.
M-A-M-E-T.
That's it. Told you, DM. I can remember certain things. But I think he has an actual true love and passion for the art that is acting. And that should be celebrated. And that should be something that Hollywood sees. They don't, but they should.
Yeah. And it's, you know, as somebody who took acting classes, you can see that some of the old school actors have like this love and dedication for the art instead of, you know, for the performance or the personality. Like there were times when I had to take a script and rewrite it for a character, because like at the end of the year we had to play, like, you know, do a small scene as characters from different plays, and I had to rewrite my character a bit and to add like a little bit something to the backstory to give her more life. So you see that that drive to be it's not method acting, it's a type of acting. I forget what it's called, because we had to read from the book and study it. But it's the love of the craft. You know, you want to be able to be perfect, but also imperfect at the same time. You want to have flaws as a character. But I'll figure out what the method is in a second. It's like the Sikorsky method or something like that.
There's two techniques that are similar, and it seems like they kind of go back and forth. It's the Mesner technique and the Stanislavski
technique.
Yes, yeah, Stanislavski system. Yeah. Cool.
That's what I used. That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to like use that psychological, you know, put psychological realism into my character to like flush her out a little bit more. And I got an A in that class, I have to say.
There you go. Good job.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you could put Skeet into a modern horror film today, what would it be? What would you want to see him in?
Well, I already got to see him as a father figure. I already got to see him as a boyfriend figure. I probably want to see him more of a more tragic father figure that is trying to protect his family. Right. But in the end, you know, he can't protect his family. And so he kind of goes that revenge route. I want to see him in a revenge horror story.
Okay.
As the tragic father.
Okay. Like that kind of, not that they need to do this. This is not me saying that they need to do this. But if they were to remake Amityville.
Oh. That's a good one.
I think that would fit what you're looking for.
Now, if they did Amityville, I would probably like to see it more as like the true crime story version of it.
Yeah.
And if he was younger, play the son.
Okay.
But since he's older, he would probably play the father.
Yeah.
That unfortunately gets killed. But, you know, but still, I'm trying to figure out that whole Amityville where, you know, that how do you not hear gunshots? How do you not hear that? You're in a community.
If it's supernatural.
Okay.
That is all I'm going to say. I think when it comes to supernatural things, some logic has to go out the window. And being able to hear something that a demon could suppress or a spirit could soundproof makes sense. I don't know, personally. That's my thoughts.
Okay.
A lot of his characters are morally gray, and I love this for him. But at the same time, like, I would actually really love for him to play, like, a solid good guy. Like a lawful good kind of, like, good guy.
Like a...
Because he always plays in, like, the more, like, neutral... kind of bad or actual bad. I want
so you want good. Him to be like a straight shooter cop type,
not necessarily cop type, like he doesn't have to be a cop, but I'm just saying he lawful good as in like there's like lawful evil, neutral evil, chaotic evil. There's like lawful good, neutral good, chaotic good. I want him in like lawful good. I don't think he's ever really truly played that in the horror slash thriller realm. I feel like all of his characters have been morally gray. So I'd like to see him be not morally gray, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like that'd be an interesting Can he pull it off? Will it work?
Yeah.
Who knows? When it comes to Skeet, obviously, we were very impressed with his skill set. Do you think, is there any role in any past movie that you think he should have had? Or he should have been, like, he should have done? Whether or not he auditioned for it or not.
I mean, I probably would have seen him play, like, you know, Johnny Depp's brother in Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay. Just to see the you know, the contrast of, you know, like he's not the one that's getting the nightmares, but he sees his brother's turmoil. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved to saw like, dude, what's going on, man? I mean, talk to me. You're always with your friends. You always have your music up. What's going on?
Yeah.
And I would love to see, you know, him, his character, try to get his own vengeance, you know, against Freddy.
Okay.
Especially if you continue in part two. Like, I would like to see his character get his own type of vengeance for his brother. You know? Yeah. I thought that would be me.
Okay. I would actually like to see him in more like fantasy-esque things as well. So like kind of going off of like the Johnny Depp stuff, like I would have loved to seen him in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That'd be kind of cool. Like, you know, you have Johnny Depp as the pirate and then his brother, like, you know, Skeet as like, still as a brother, but like on the force of like, yeah. I am a British officer. What are you doing?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, that'd be funny. It's like, I'm a British officer. What are you doing? Why are you here? I told you to go away. Right? The dad had to rescue you again. Oh, that'd be like comedic gold.
That it was so funny. So funny. I would have also liked to have seen him in, oh, I had this movie written down. What was it?
I think he would probably have been a good addition to Lord of the Rings, like a character in Lord of the Rings. Because he has that fantasy face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He could have been like one of the like the Rohan guys.
Yeah. Right as a Rohan.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he could have taken Carl's place. No offense. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Carl's. Love him. But like that could have been a role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I think Homeboy has a whole lot more range than people give him credit for.
Oh yeah.
I think he could have been cool in like Roswell or
that's a good show. That's a good show.
Something along those lines. Okay. Did you ever watch the show The Pretender?
Yes, I have. That was like one of my favorite shows growing up.
Love that show.
In the 90s.
I think he could have been a cool connection in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a great show. If you guys have not seen The Pretender, I don't even know if it's streaming anywhere. But
no, you have to like rent it.
It is worth it.
It is.
It was a brilliant show. You have this like genius who can literally become and do anything he wants. And you have an organization who's trying to recapture him. It's great. And I won't lie, I totally shipped him and Miss Parker because I don't know why I love those two together.
I only ran for 4 seasons. That was kind of sucked too.
Yeah. Warehouse 13.
Oh, he would have been a great addition. Yeah. He'd been good in that one.
He would have been a fun agent to have. He would have been a fun agent.
I would actually loved him in, like, you know, a couple of episodes of The X-Files.
Yeah?
Or maybe Twin Peaks.
Ooh, Twin Peaks would be killer. That would have been awesome. If Billy Loomis' character survived, where do you think his story would have gone?
Okay.
If he survived, where do you think his story would have gone?
If he survived, like, I would probably have him low-key trying to rest and heal and then rethink his strategy if he really wants to kill off Sydney again, or maybe, you know, kill off the pretenders, quote unquote.
Okay.
For me, it'd be like killing off the pretenders. Like I would have, like, you know, if I'm mad at the world and I think this one person did me wrong, I would have to rethink my life at that point. But like, you know what? You know, it was not her fault. It really wasn't. It's my dad's fault, because he's a grown-ass man. And it was her mom's fault. They made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to, you know, chill. And then you hear, like, these stories of these, like, you know, pretender scream killers. I'd be like, you know what? It's time for me to come out, retain my role, rescue Sydney, and kind of wink at her. I'm like, wink. Like, you're supposed to be dead. That's what you thought. Surprise!
I'm not gonna lie, like there's a small part of me who would still ship them together because I actually did like them together. They had good chemistry.
Oh yeah.
It was just one of those like
you're probably like, you know, waiting.
Like I know that's not realistic.
He'd be waiting for his husband though.
Yeah.
He'd be waiting for his husband. Like his husband went to jail. And he's like, well, I'm just gonna wait here until he gets out. No one knows I'm alive.
And last question for you. If you could sit down and watch one of Skeet's projects, which one would it be? And what would you ask him about it?
Ooh. Let's see. Let me look at his filmography real quick. You know, I didn't know he was in The Weeknd at Bernie's as an extra, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I would probably be like, you know, for me, it would be probably The Craft, because that was my jammy jam back in the day. And mm-hmm. I want to know how he got into the character, like what he thought of like the witchcraft and whatnot, the research that went into it, what type of research he did to get into it. Yeah, I would probably talk to him about all that stuff. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
Just talk about, you know, so how did you prepare for this role? Like, did you just go in there blind, or did you like do research? Like, you know, I know you play a jock, but
mm-hmm.
did you actually play that sport, or did you just read up on it? Did you do this, that, and the other? Like, I want to know, like, your perspective of Chris. Like, how would you've changed him? You know, like, instead of like going by the script, how would you like gave him more characterization? Like, what would you have done different with that character?
Yeah. I think
there's like so many ways.
Oh yeah. I think I would have actually liked to watch Miracles with him, which is a TV mini series or whatever. And mm-hmm. it's about this character who investigates modern miracles for the Catholic Church, kind of like the TV show Evil.
Oh, okay.
In a sense, like very like basic plot of, oh, there's somebody who investigates these things, like that. Like that's kind of like about where it ends, but there's that. After he actually witnesses a true supernatural miracle, only to have people dismiss him. And then he gets brought in by like a different organization, and it's a whole thing. Like it's kind of cool. But I would want to talk with him and like asking him how playing that character and how being involved with all of that and his career in the film industry, and how a lot of it is in horror and thrillers and things like that, where there's quite a bit of touches of supernatural. Like, does he believe in all that stuff? And if he does, how does he believe in all that stuff? And like, kind of have like more of like a philosophical kind of conversation with him.
Yeah,
from all of that.
You know what would be good if they rebooted it? Mm-hmm. Remember that show, Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Where they investigated and got back all the antique items that was haunting and, you know, killing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he would actually make a good, you know, a good protagonist.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For that.
For sure, for sure.
I think he'd be good in that show if they rebooted it.
And obviously, as we wrap all this up, do you think Skeet Ulrich is an underrated horror icon? Or do you think he is somebody who actually stands the test of time? Like, what do you think his legacy is? And how many skulls would you give him?
I think he is very, you know, underrated. He's, you know, he probably enjoys life. He enjoys art, acting for what it is as an art form and not as, like, you know, a personality performance. And, you know, now that there's this resurgence in the horror community, I think he's going to go a long way
mm-hmm.
in horror again. I think we're going to see a lot of uptake in him in horror movies, which I would love, or even horror shows. I would supernatural shows. I don't care. I would love it, and I would love to see him and Matthew do more things together, either on the same side of the coin or the opposite sides of the coin. You know, flip it around mm-hmm. once in a while. Like, you know, have Matthew be the good guy and Skeet be the bad guy, and then Skeet be the good guy, Matthew be the bad guy, you know?
Right.
And so, you know what? He's a damn good actor that's a chameleon that can slip into roles and you don't even, you know, think about it, which is a dying art sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think it is a dying art that, you know, I think it's, you know, some people take method acting a little too much and some people, you know, don't utilize it that much.
Yeah.
So he's like a 5.
Yeah, I agree. A 5. Definitely a 5. He is a man of many talents. And I said it earlier, he's underutilized. He's somebody who, there's a lot of roles he could do. And I get that, like, some of it could just simply be projects that he's like, no, I'm not going to do that because it's going to take me away from my family for too long. Or, you know, I don't feel passionate about it. And I respect that. I absolutely do. But I do think that he deserves to have a booming career, but he has left a legacy, whether or not people realize it or not. And even with him dropping off the way that he dropped off, both him and Matthew, like the way they dropped off and didn't have that, you know, household name thing that like so many other actors can have, it didn't diminish their impact, and it didn't diminish who they are as individuals. If anything, it made them better. And so now, as they're getting their renaissance in horror, it's beautiful. It's really cool, you know, to see all of these videos from cons where you can actually see how touched they are that people wait hours just to meet them for like 5 seconds. Like you can see, like there are moments where you can tell that as him being kind of an introverted person, that he was like, yeah, like it's overwhelming. The amount of love that we get is overwhelming. And I'm glad that they're able to see that. I'm glad that he's able to know that people love him for what he has done and for his art, and that his art is going to be appreciated for generations to come.
Oh, yes.
So, our fellow horrorholics, do you guys love Skeet as much as we do? One. And two.
Oh, Skeet, Skeet.
Or do you not like him? And if so, why? Did you get hit in the head? Are you okay? I have questions. But tell us what your favorite Skeet film is. What was the first one that you saw? You can find us on all the things at Earth Station Boo. You can also hit up our link tree and find everything in there as well. But we do have a Discord that is awesome. We're going to do Sunday movie nights. So check the Discord because we will be popping in there and saying, hey, what do you want to watch? Here's a couple of choices. So come join us there. We also have a merch store, some cool merch. And keep an eye out because we might be updating a few things. So hit us up, subscribe, rate us wherever you listen to podcasts such as Apple, Google, Spotify. Obviously, we are on YouTube, so please leave comments. We do interact with them. And yeah, everything's on our link tree. But Karen, our stuff is also in the link tree where they can find us. But where can they find you? What platforms do you like to hang out at?
I'm usually on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, formerly known as Twitter, Reddit, and TikTok. I'm mostly on TikTok and Instagram, really. You see me like...
Samesies.
You see me like pop up with a little short video and whatnot, especially on TikTok because, you know, yep. I'm doing small little videos.
Yep. I am Spill Tea Wine Media Mind. You can find me on all the things at that. Instagram and TikTok is where I hang out the most as well. I also stream on Twitch occasionally. I do body doubling streams. So I just play some fun music, chit chat with everybody as we try to get stuff done because homegirl needs to get paid while she's doing stuff. So come hang out. But as always, before we go, you are fellow horrorholics. We cannot thank you enough. Every listen, every share, every comment and engagement with the podcast makes it so that way we can continue doing this. So thank you for your support. And as always, stay spooky, our horrorholics. That's a wrap for Earth Station Boo. Thanks for listening. Follow, share, and find all our links in our link tree. Until next time, stay spooky.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.